Now time for a very zooming in edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games that Microsoft's Game Pass service tell you which games to pass to your friends and which games to just, I can't think of a good, like, fly on by. Like, it, this is a hard game to come up with puns because A, I don't know anything about art, as we just discovered off the air, and B, there's not a lot of story here.
I would go with butterflies somehow.
Just flap those wings and flap on by.
Flap on by, guys.
Flap on by. I am Corey. I am joined by the man who is now a butterfly. He has evolved. He has metamorphosis the cocoon.
Are you calling me a Weedle? Is that the Pokemon? Like
I was more of a Caterpie guy. I like Butterfree. I like Butterfree more than Beedrill. I don't like bees.
Butterfree left, I shed a tear. I'm not gonna lie to you. Butterfree was cool. Bulbasaur's my guy.
I was always a Squirtle person. This is not about Pokemon. We are here to talk about Cocoon, not the movie. But before that, did you know that you can rate us on your favorite podcast service? If you're listening to us right now and you haven't rated us, why not, man? Hurts my feelings. Makes me sad. Hop on to iTunes, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast service of choice is, leave us a review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. It, more people can listen. More people is a good thing. Did I introduce who we were? Did I introduce you?
I don't think you did this time.
I think I was starting to, and then I went on my tangent. I'm Corey. This is Basher. We're going to talk about Cocoon.
Good day, sirs.
From Jeppe Carlson, the lead gameplay designer of Limbo and Inside, Cocoon takes you on an adventure across worlds within worlds. Master world-leaping mechanics and solve intricate puzzles to unravel a cosmic mystery. Cocoon is a unique take on puzzle adventure genre, where each world exists within an orb that you can carry on your back. Wrap your head around the core mechanic of leaping between worlds and combine, manipulate, and rearrange them to solve intricate puzzles. We're going to stop there because that is the longest description now that I'm reading it. So this is available on Xbox Series X and S, PC, and Xbox One. There is cross-save compatibility. I can confirm that. On Xbox Series X and S, you're going to get, I believe it's a full 4K 60 and 1440p 60. And Xbox One, you're getting 30 frames. And PC, no frame rate cap other than 60 frames, which is odd. So I was running this game at like 400 frames and I couldn't cap it. It was kind of strange. How long to beat? We got a main hour of four. Main story, 4 hours. Main and extras, 5 hours. A completionist of 5 hours. And all styles of 5 hours. I'm gonna say it's probably going to take you about 5 hours to beat this game. Cocoon. Let's talk about it.
Is this the Annapurna joint?
Yes. This is a Annapurna joint, as you say. I knew nothing about this game, I will say. Like, I am not a... I don't get Inside. I know people love that game. I don't... That one did not click for me. I got to Limbo late, however I get it. You know, like, we have played similar games into this. This one is not a walking simulator by any means.
Nope. That's the first major plus for me.
Yeah. What I will say is out of Limbo, Inside, and Cocoon, I like this one the most, which was very surprising to me.
I will agree with that. I'll stand by that.
So how do you talk? So there's no story here, so it's hard to talk about that. Like, it's a game. There you go. We'll see you next time. you play as this bug-looking thing that's just come out of its cocoon, I think. And it's a puzzle game. Like, it's a isometric puzzle game. It has the world building mechanic of you discover other worlds. And the best way I can describe it is it's like that scene in Men in Black where they look into the galaxy and then they see the another galaxy. That is Cocoon. Put that on the box. It's like that scene in Men in Black.
Actually, you know what? What the heck is that? Why don't you relax over there? Actually, that is a description that I want to build off of, interestingly enough. So I was speaking to my friend John before we recorded this podcast about Cocoon, and I explained, I was going on this explanation, like, walk with me here. Back in the day, you used to have these action adventure games or just these adventure games, whatever, and they had so many pieces to them, and that some of them worked, some of them didn't, but they all kind of worked together. So like I brought up something like Legacy of Kain or Tomb Raider, where you had your adventuring aspect of it, you had your adventuring aspect of it, you have your combat aspect of things, you had your puzzle solving aspect of stuff, like all little things or big things that make a larger, bigger thing. I feel like we are in a place in gaming where, and again, this is not a criticism per se, but Annapurna is better at it than most as publishers go. But I feel like we're at a place in gaming where games are no longer that even trying to be that total kind of package of things. They're taking the aspect of the adventure, the aspect of the combat, the aspect of the puzzle, and they're just saying, this is the game. Cocoon feels like, to me, a puzzling aspect of a larger game, and they just said, well, who needs character and story here? I mean, like, we came up with a cool mechanic. It's a fun mechanic. It's a neat mechanic. It's just that is the game. And for me, Cocoon feels very much like that. And that's not a negative criticism. For me, it's just a matter of when I play games like this, I always feel like I wish you gave me at the very least a decent and fun, interesting story. And I think that's where stuff like Limbo kind of comes in, or even Braid back in the day, because you're playing something that is pushing you forward toward the end, that you're like, what is this mystery? Let me solve the mystery. Let me figure out where this character is going. Let me figure out where the growth is, or whatever, or the climax of the story or something. Whereas like Cocoon is happy just being a marble within a marble within a marble, and you get to the end and it looks like you just fly away.
Yeah, and I think that's why those games don't hit for me too, is that, you know, we've talked about this before of like, if you're going to tell me a story, tell me a story. Don't leave it open-ended. Don't tell me, like, don't give me hints of what it could mean. And while I respect those games, and like, while they're good puzzle games, the puzzles are never, it's not to say they're not the focus, but they're clearly not the innovation, I guess you could say. While Cocoon isn't like innovative in any way of like, this has never been done before, it feels that way. Like it uses its strengths in a way that make it feel very unique. And really what it is that world within a world. And that sounds kind of weird, but like that's truly what it is. And as you keep going through the game, it builds upon itself in a very Mario-esque way, in my opinion, of like, hey, we've taught you how to do XYZ. Now we're going to give you, I guess we're going to say ABC. Now we're going to give you D, and now we're going to give you E. And so at the end, like, you are literally having to think, while you've thought about these puzzles before, you've never had to think about them in this way of going from step A to Z. But you literally have to go from a world to a world. And it's quick. Like it's a mechanic that I'm sure took a lot of time to figure out. Maybe it's because we're where computing is and almost everyone has an SSD now, but it's like you can literally with the press of a button jump into this other world and it's completely different. And so as you start, you know, it's almost like it's like a Zelda game where it's like each marble is its own like biome, basically. So you got the fire one, and you got the sun one, and you got the water one. And you get those by also defeating bosses, very much in a Zelda-esque menu, you know, manner of just like, hey, so you've got two worlds, you're going to fight this boss, and now you're going to get your third world. And it just keeps building upon itself until you get to the end, like you said. And so it's a hard game to talk about in that manner, because the puzzles, like, this entire game can be played with one button. Like truly, like, everything is done with the A button to pushing, the moving, and all that stuff. But everything about the world and how you navigate it is the game. So it's truly one of those interesting mechanics, but interesting games. It's like, you really got to play it to experience it. So like, we're not going to do it justice here, but that, I think while that sounds like a negative, to me, it's a positive. It's a game that you really have to play to experience, if that makes sense.
I completely agree. The idea of you taking this marble-sized world and then taking another marble-sized world and going into that first one to use the second one to solve puzzles with, it's interesting. It's neat. And it's pretty cool at times, too, when you get to those puzzles where you're kind of scratching your head and you're going, how do I do this? And then when you figure it out, there's a sense of accomplishment there. I think the way that they laid out the puzzles here are pretty darn clever. It doesn't try to overthink itself or overpresent itself as being super smart. And it flows very well. You don't really get stuck on anything for super long. And I think that makes it easier to get through as well. I could probably have done without the boss encounters, to be honest with you.
Really? That's surprising to me. I thought they were great. Like,
they're just there for me. You press A, so huh. You just press A again. Like you said, I don't really care.
But I think that's why it worked for me. Like, as someone who's playing through Super Mario Wonder
that's a really good game.
It's a fantastic game. I think of a lot of Mario bosses, especially in the 3D Mario games, and that's how I feel about them. It's just like, they're not, one boss to the next is not unique. And I thought each one of these bosses, the fact that they were able to bring up different mechanics and have you do different things because you only press one button, I was genuinely surprised. I was like, these boss encounters are actually pretty good. Like,
they're neat.
They're not like, they're, you know, neat. They're not home runs by any means. But I was like, I expected that to be the worst part of the game because it's such a puzzle focused game. And yet, but they still, in minor ways, incorporate the puzzles into the bosses. And that's, you're not doing like the world jumping thing that you are,
right,
during the bosses. But they still incorporate the stuff that you learn from those. From the puzzles into the game, I don't think that's easy to do. Now, like I said, they're not home runs by any means, but yeah, I guess that for me they were more than just there. But I guess I'm just kind of shocked that I'm not shocked, but surprised that
I honestly could have done it.
That's how you felt.
Yeah, I mean, so only because they were so beatable in that first run, and just kind of there. I'm like, it broke up the puzzling. I get it. Like, from a gameplay perspective, I get why they're there, but it just wasn't there enough for me to really care about them too much. It reminds me of what's the game? The isometric game where that you really liked, that had the instruction manual in the game that you felt that
Tunic.
Like, Tunic, yes. Like the big, like the, am I thinking about Tunic that had the boss battle, that had the, like, the souls, like, boss fights in there? I could be thinking of a different game.
They were pretty difficult. Yeah, yeah. They were like oddly combat focused.
Yeah, like I like that because, like, it kind of gave me something to, lack of a better word, beat my head against the wall with, you know, because the puzzling in Cocoon isn't difficult, and that, again, that's not a criticism. It just makes it so that you flow through this game pretty comfortably. So the fact that the bosses were just as comfortable, I'm just like, I didn't think I needed it too much. You can just keep me puzzling to the end, really.
Yeah, I guess it's not that it's a valid, you know, rebuttal, but it's like I expected worse, and I expected tedium because of how the game was flowing. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. Again, it's not a home run, but I guess that's where, so it's, I guess it could be worse. And so that's, again, that's not a great argument.
I agree, though. It could, like, at some point, I guess what I'm trying to say is I was looking for that challenge, I guess, you know, like, a lot of Annapurna stuff is about discovery, is about just kind of taking your time with things and just the overall experience, you know? Whereas my favorite Annapurna games are the ones that you sort of, because there's not a lot of combat there, because there's not a quote-unquote adventure there, there's a lot of at least character or story. I think the videotape one, that was Annapurna, right?
I don't know. You're thinking of not Insidious. That's a movie. Right. It's a single word. What the heck is the name of that game?
It's a one word.
Immortality?
Yes. Yes, like it is. Game. Yeah. I think that's Annapurna. Correct me on that. But that
real time fact checking. No, it was not.
It wasn't. Oh, okay. Surprising, because it seems like one of their games.
It was self-published by Zambarlo and his studio Half Mermaid Productions. And their other games might have been, though.
Okay.
Telling Lies and all that, because I think
Telling Lies was for sure, right? Again, who cares? Who doesn't matter?
There's someone listening that's like, what's a publisher? No, it was a company called... Oh, no, you're right. Nope, yeah, published by Annapurna, Telling Lies was.
Okay, so I'm not going crazy. All right, yeah, so you can clean that up however you want. So those are like my favorite kind of Annapurna games. The ones where it's just the puzzle and no character, no story. I mean... It's hard. It doesn't really give me a sense of reason to kind of just move along to the ending as strong as other games do.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I think what's interesting about this whole thing and is that this is a very different experience than what you would expect from this developer, right? And so that's where I think your bias is either going to be work for you or against you in this instance. If you're looking for something like Limbo and Inside, this ain't it, Chief. Like, it's just not. Like, those games use atmosphere to kind of try to tell a story. And this, while this does that, it's still very much gameplay focused. And so you're not going to get nearly as much out of it if that's what you're looking for. Kind of like what you said, you know, like this is what I come to Annapurna for. Like, I don't think this exactly fits within that realm, but at the same time, that doesn't, you know, again, I don't know if that's a great argument either, kind of thing. But yeah, so it's not a slight, but it's I see what you're saying, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah, because I'm definitely need, I think we all just kind of, when we play a game, we want that thing to keep us going, and Cocoon is just didn't have from it, I guess.
I think the thing is the world jumping thing, right?
Right.
And that's hard to, I wouldn't say it's a hard sell, but it's, you can't, so like, you know, Annapurna also published Artful Escape. And like, and you can look at that and you look at it in 30 seconds, you're like, okay, you know whether or not you want to play that. And Cocoon, like, yeah, like you see the animation's awesome, right? Like the, how fast it is and how fluid it is of how you just jump into that other world, like the sound, like they clearly spent a lot of time perfecting that whole 2 second, not even animation, and it's really cool. But you see that you can't really grasp it until you play it. And so it's a hard sell in that capacity. So it's like the thing for it is not nearly as marketable in many ways, but it's still a really cool thing. But a lot of people probably aren't going to like, I don't care. Like, you jumped in the hole. Who cares? You know, like that's, I could see that being a valid, I don't say valid criticism, but I could see that being a criticism. So at least it's not 12 minutes, right?
Wait, did you not like 12 minutes?
I like the idea of 12 minutes.
I don't remember what I like about it.
We did an episode on that. I'm going to go back and listen to it now. But anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, when it comes to Cocoon, I feel like it's one of those games, again, like I kind of preambled up front about, it takes a great idea for a gameplay mechanic and it just makes the game that, whereas I just didn't feel like I had anything else to make me want to continue just playing as a game mechanic. You know, like it's a solid game mechanic. It's neat. It's fun to watch, but why do I want this bug to become the best butterfly that it can be? You know,
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. But it's, I know it's kind of a, you know, damned if you don't, because it's like, I don't want that weak story. I want to tell a story, but at the same time, like I get why that drives people is that mystery and stuff. And for me, it's just like, I guess I'm asking for too particular product from a smaller team like this, right? You know, maybe not kind of thing. So I get it. But for me, it worked far more for you, I guess. Or other way around, it worked far more for me than you. But I get it. You know, I think that's fair. So, but yeah, like it's a tough one to talk about, and I will say, like, the things that stood out to me is I love the look of it. I think it's a very sharp looking game. It doesn't take a lot to run, but it's still like, its art style and presentation are really strong. It's really strong, and the music is really good. Like, that's one that I'm going to definitely be checking out the soundtrack for, and I'll probably be adding some to my chill out playlist, I call it. And that's, again, though, those are things that you really need to experience for yourself. Like, we can talk about it, but it's, you need to experience it. And that's kind of where I feel like with Cocoon is it's really cool. I think you should play it, and I think you'll get it. And the other thing is that it doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, it truly is a 4-hour game, and there's like one side quest that you can do. But if you're someone that likes to explore, you're probably going to do it anyway. Like, it's not something you have to like go back and figure out. It's, if you're just kind of exploring, there's these things that you can find, and that's really it. And I appreciate that, honestly. I appreciate that there's not this weird, convoluted thing going on, and it's just very straight and to the point. So,
yeah, I mean, that again, sounds like criticism. That's my other favorite thing. Like, they know there's not a lot going on here, so it is over in a pretty short amount of time. Yeah. This is just not my bag. It's Heat Ride. Like, it's one of those games where I pick it up, I'm like, yeah, this is good. I see what you're doing here. This works. I like this. But then it's like, I have no reason to play this game.
it's tough. Like, not that I need to convince you, but it's like, again, it's not a great criticism. It's like, but when I told you about this game and I was like, yeah, we need to do an episode on this kind of thing, because like, that's what kind of what we do is we just kind of, you know, like, we start playing a game and even if we don't like it, it's pretty clear sometimes when it's like, you know, like, this is just not going to, like, this is too long right now, whatever. I was like, we need to play this game. And you're like, is it one of those? And it's not.
It's not.
It's right. Not one of those.
Exactly.
So it's like, so again, and I don't, but that's not a great, it's not a great argument. That's a argument that's hyper specific to us and just kind of what we play, and it's not, and that's, I like that it's not, quote, one of those, but again, that's not a great argument. So, but I'm going to fall on, I think you should play this.
Yeah, I'm going to fall on a more softer, you should play this, if that makes any sense. It's a very neat game, like, for sure.
I think it is worth your time, and it doesn't require a lot of time. So there you go. There's Cocoon. Like I said, it just play it. It's fun. It's one you got to play to really kind of get. So, but not get in the sense of like you just don't get it, man. It's like no, like just it's cool. Have some fun with it. Now, what I don't understand is this review for this game that is one stars.
Oh,
stars, one star.
Did I make it?
No. By Erratic Signal. Erratic Signal, if you're listening, I think you messed up. When Get Good meets Spam Lottery, location and atmosphere are great. Some enemies are wonderfully balanced, and some are just lazy spam.
What are you talking about?
Let's face it. The Soul series set the bar and doesn't live up. Bosses are okay, but have way too much HP. Leveling isn't handled well, and many builds are just worthless.
What the
I'm not going to read the rest of this.
Wait, this is the
wrong I think you reviewed the wrong game.
Wrong game.
Absolutely. I think, are you talking about Lies of P?
Yep.
Right. Like, are you talking, did you review the wrong game? I'm going to find you.
That's great.
I'm going to make you fix
That's
this mistake.
Fantastic. That's fantastic.
Because this review, I'm sure, is the reason why this game only has 4.8. instead of 5. Not that it needs to be a 5.
That is so
But
great.
That's unfair, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Erratic Signal, jerk.
What a ridiculous mistake. That's fantastic.
What's not a mistake is shooting us a text message or a voicemail. 574-651-9256. We are rapidly approaching the end of the year, which means we're going to start wrapping up, and we're going to be doing our Game of the Year podcast. It's going to be a wild one this year, but we still have some games coming out. I know. So you were interested in Jacent. Are you going to check that out? That is out now.
What the heck is Jacent?
That is the mountain game. You climb the mountain.
I was wait. Is that the one that was on the Sony thing?
Yes, it was in the showcase.
Oh.
Not the Sony thing. It was in the Microsoft Summer one. So I actually think that looks pretty cool. So I want to check that out.
I was in this. Hold on. You hold on your face right now.
I have record of,
this
is a real thing.
Okay, the fake eco. Oh yeah, it might be good.
There you go. The fake eco. Let's put that on the box. The fake eco. So we got some other stuff that we played, and I think we're going to be doing some tag team episodes where we both kind of played some stuff, and there's a lot other things coming out.
I have so many games I've played this year that will not make the end of the year thing. So I'm just going to shotgun those probably one day. Just say, hey, I played these games and I think they're good.
There you go. So, all right, that's going to be this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.